Welcome back to Brass Tacks. It's now 10:40. Remember, we go until 1:30 today. Of course, we're going to break for the regional roundup at 11:55. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air. Let's go try that again. You're on the air. Good morning. All right. Yes, sir. You're here now. Hello? Yes, you're just breaking up.
I need a prayer. Country in trouble. The country been given.
I do apologize, ladies and gentlemen, but the quality is really, really, really bad. So we really can't continue that call. Just let me read this one here, this WhatsApp message. It has come to my attention that the government or central bank has asked Sagicor and other financial sector players to support the government's efforts to raise foreign exchange US dollars on an urgent basis. I wish to remind the insurance industry and the insurance companies that it's primarily their fiduciary responsibility is to its policyholders and or depositors, and not as to the regulator or the government. The governor of the central bank announced that they were trying to raise US dollars commercially, but was unsuccessful. If the market is not willing, for whatever reason, to lend the government of Barbados, then arguably the policyholders and depositors would also be unwilling, therefore. Sir or madam, I'm not sure who wrote this, but you will recall that the governor of the central bank made it quite clear that those companies that have overseas accounts, they got those accounts on the understanding that if the country needed for any reason to get foreign exchange, that they would return that foreign exchange to Barbados. So that is what they agreed to. Therefore, the action of the central bank or the government, I think it's the central bank, to approach these companies at this time is very legal, very lawful, and it can be done. And you have to remember, sir, this was done back in 1991. And the insurance companies like Sagicor and other financial institutions who have a lot of cash, those were the ones who came to the rescue of the economy at the time. So it is all legal. I understand your apprehension as a policyholder or depositor, but it is all legal. Just saying. We go back to the phone lines. This is Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. There was something that has been on my mind lately, even before the election came around, that you really touched on with, I think it's a WhatsApp message, whereas there are a lot of people out there that is not really going to get to vote because of their employers or their business. Mm-hmm. Can you actually explain to me what time does the polling
It's 6 to 6, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So if you're in the line when the polls close, you'll remain in line and they'll allow you to vote. That's generally the thing, but 6 to 6.
Right, because I do remember in 2013, especially in the line of work that I in, a lot of my colleagues, they did not get to vote. They did not get to vote around that time. So I'm just asking, I don't know if the same thing is going to come, it's going to happen.
So why didn't they get to vote last time?
Pardon?
Why did they not get a chance to vote?
Like I said, in the line of work that we are in, because we are security officers. Right, and
so there's no way that
some of the locations that we work at, it's impossible to leave.
Impossible to. So why can't you vote before
Remember
you go?
Remember, it's business days. And the reason I'm asking is because I heard a short clip this morning on the news where the Prime Minister from the store was talking, I think was in Britain's Hill, where he was talking to the member of the DLP to, if they were not going to vote, then that means the Barbados Labour Party is going to get in, right? So so they he needs everybody to come out and vote. So how can the public do that when the employers are not giving their employees time to go and do so? I mean, you have to be there. You said it's from 6 to 6. You have to be at work at a certain time. You have to stand in line.
Yes, but you're mandated by the Constitution to give your employees an hour. Now, I would assume that you have a half an hour or hour for lunch. So maybe that can be all incorporated into one. I don't know. But it's as I said, we're going to try to get some information, and I'm here waiting for something to be sent to me right now on this matter.
That will be very helpful. I will just continue to listen to hear what the solution is to that. All right? So yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much for your call. This is a concern, and it's coming up. I know of one or two other companies that I've heard about that they would be closing an hour earlier. And that hour early means that they would be closing at 4 o'clock, but they're opening an hour earlier. So, in other words, they normally open, they go from 8 to 5. And what they'll be doing is opening, this one company will be opening from 8 and going straight to 4 and leaving a window of 2 hours. And the other company is opening an hour earlier and closing our thing. So they'll be opening at 8 and going to 5. But the point about it is the time that's involved. People need to have a minimum of 1 hour so that they can go and cast a ballot. That is the law. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Sanker. How are you doing, man?
I am well, sir.
Would you imagine that Saturday, one of the candidates in my area was canvassing? One of the guys in the crowd showed me, and he asked me, "You got a manifesto?" I tell you, "No, I ain't got none." And he called a particular individual by name and said, "You got manifestos?" And you know, I was bypassed. I was bypassed.
Well, but if the fellas feel that it'd be a waste of their time to give you a document. I mean, a manifesto is an expensive thing. To print one of those glossy things is expensive.
But you don't feel, but nobody don't know how he can vote. The only boy know how he can vote is me.
Well, obviously they think that they do know how you're going to vote.
Well, they think.
Uh-huh.
But honestly, I heard on the other station a lady saying that she wasn't going to vote, but she was going to vote. No, but that was my intention to not to vote. Left the two candidates to fight with them, and then people might go and vote now. I don't know who he's voting for, but you know he's going to vote.
If you say so, sir. So.
Thank you, sir.
Have a nice day, man. This is Brass Tacks. You're on the air? All right, fine. Just let me go to this next, because we have a lot of WhatsApp messages, so that's why I'm really trying to get them in, because a lot of people are writing in. This person is here saying, the law states a minimum of an hour, but it says as long as it takes. Hopefully someone sends it. It's aired nightly on CBC TV. Perhaps that's why people miss the message. And other people are also saying here it takes an hour. But really and truly, the best thing I think, I mean, and everybody can't do it, obviously, but the best thing would be to vote early. I think that would be the most logical thing, because normally the polling station opens on time, and it is always better when you do something early, you get it out of the way so that you have the rest of the day to do whatever else you want to do. So I would suggest that if you really want to vote, you try to do it early. And let me just take this next call. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you, sir.
It's always very good to know.
Have you been attending the meetings or watching the live streams?
For what, the political parties?
Well, for meetings.
What meetings are you talking about?
The political party meetings, yes.
Political means, you know what political means? It means pantomime. It means showing. It's a popularity contest. Why am I supposed to be getting involved with something that's a popularity contest, redeeming $2.5 billion a year of taxpayers' money? Why should somebody that is popular be the one to decide how that money is spent? I think as a responsible Barbadian, I should be beyond that. I don't go to any meetings, my friend. They don't impress me with all that stupidness they speak. At the end of the day, it's all about the Prime Minister's thoughts, what the Prime Minister thinks is relevant or not. You don't need to have no fanfare for that kind of thing. You guys should have had Prime Ministers and opposition leaders on that program, along with the other leaders of the smaller parties, to discuss those things. But you did not. All these weeks have passed, and we got a deed now with this, you know, the last 2 days, and somehow find, make meaning of this crap. I am not someone to fall in line behind a popular decision. That's not me. I'm sorry. So if you thought you asked me the wrong question...
I think I asked you the right question, because I seem to go under your skin.
Yeah. You always
so what did it, what? Because I'm very good at it. So what do you call the talk to us about today?
Peter Wickham has saved my life. Why? Because he's actually done something inadvertently that should make sense to the population of Barbados. Peter Wickham has come last week and said that there are private people. Peter, I hope you listen to this here, you know, because you said it. There are private people who are prepared to pay him to do a poll. Well, there are more than one, so polls, to do polls at the constituency level. So why on God's earth would a private person want to engage you to know what the outcome would be beforehand? Huh? Look, let me ask you that. Not Peter, no, I'm asking that question. Why would somebody engage Peter Wickham to do a private poll to determine which of the two major parties will win at the end after Thursday? What do you think? And Peter is not cheap enough. That costs real money. So why would a private person do that? You tell me, because you're the man who on the ground. You're a journalist. You understand these things better than I do.
He said private entity. He didn't say person.
Yeah. Well, okay, entity is a person. I mean, come on, a person makes a decision at any day.
And from the little that I do know, those private entities are usually people associated with the political parties.
Yes, in what way? I mean, they're actually running for office. Are they part of the party structure, that they're the accountants that keep the books? I mean, what are they? What is that association?
As far as I know, there are people who are associated with the political parties. And they more than likely would be the political party itself. The different political parties. You see, that is why I find... Hold a second. This is why I find a lot of the comments made by some of these politicians who don't read the newspapers, who don't believe in polls, and who don't this and who don't that, they're the same people who can tell you what page anything is written on a newspaper, and they're the same people who pay for the polls. Mm-hmm. All right, that is one of the things I do know that I can tell you.
okay
and so these are the people who pay for polls, and those entities have that information, and based on that information, they help to structure their strategy around a lot of that information.
And that strategy is based on some kind of desire to help the Barbadian people to move from where they are to where they should be. Is that what it is about?
This is what you need. You've been saying all of this consistently since I've been around here just over a year. What you need to say to us, what is the better way of selecting a government to run this country?
Recognizing, of course, that the two major parties are very well funded. I mean, it's not easy. It's not cheap. When you put posters on polls, even though the like Empower said, don't do that, they're still doing it. When you bring up these big placards on the side of the road, and you go and pay for advertising, not only on the media houses, in the media houses, TV and radio, but on Facebook and stuff. When you do, in fact, they haven't even gone to the guy at the airport and they say, okay, take my banner and float it across the air. That takes real money. And you know parties don't get money unless, of course, people put money behind them. The two major parties are very well funded. Very well funded. The question you have to ask, you're asking me, I'm asking you a question, is by whom? Who are funding these parties? Me? I vote new all the time.
You have been on this already, and I am saying to you...
Oh, so you're shutting me down because I've
got
enough time.
Hold on. I am saying to you, don't keep on that. Tell us, in your view, what is the better way? That's all. We went down this road already.
Okay.
What is the better way? In other words, hold on. In other words, should all the political parties, well, not all, but should be major political parties, in other words, those who managed to raise more than 40% of the votes in the last election, or last two elections, should they be funded by taxpayers?
Okay. No, I hear you. I know where you're going with this.
You understand what I'm saying? Let us let this conversation be one of education and one to provoke thought.
Okay.
Because you keep saying all the time the same thing.
Oh, yeah, okay. But you probably don't listen to what I've said. Okay, here's the thing.
I listen all the time. I listen very, very well. Believe you me.
Well, here's the thing, all right? It is a popularity contest.
We know that already.
What is a popularity contest? You need to pay for advertising and promotion. And once that happens, people benefit from that. Like yourself, David Ellis, who's your actual boss, they benefit from this popularity contest. When what all people need to know is what is the vision? What is that it is that these people are about?
But that is what they and that is what they have been. That is what they do every night that you call foolishness. That's what they do again on a political platform and talk about. That is why when they put out the manifestos.
If I'm going to spend taxpayers' money behind people. And taxpayers' money need to be well spent. I'll take that back. Taxpayers' money need to be responsibly spent. You have to spend that money behind people who are prepared to speak to you directly and say, this is what I plan to do for Barbados. I don't need a fanfare. I don't need a Rick Pony stage. I don't need no stage management. And
but that is you.
You need to come and tell me. If you're not even going to come on
and,
the program
and that
say,
is what has been done.
You're not even prepared to do that.
The major,
all these smaller parties have put leaders on the program to speak to you. All of them. All these smaller parties. The two major parties, but we don't need that no more. Because we got money behind us. We all going to go there and promote. I heard Dolphin in this song yesterday. It sounds sweet, man. It sounds sweet. But you know something? I'm not going to vote for a song. I'm not going to vote for somebody who thinks I'm popular. I want to hear somebody who has something to say that I actually do want to hear. And you're not going to do that. You're
and you are, never, all ever, right, all right, cool down. Don't burst a vessel. The point about it is that you have to attract a variety of people. There are people like yourself, and I would suspect like myself, because I want to hear just the main points. I want to hear the issues being discussed. But the reality is that you have to attract more other types of people who are more interested in listening to a song, and it will capture their interest. And once the interest is captured, you have them there as a captive audience, then you tell them what you want to do. So there are different ways you have to market these things, and that's part of the whole marketing strategy. Anyhow, sir, thank you very much for your call, and we take a commercial break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks, and as I promised, I would get a response. I contacted the Barbados Employers Confederation, and they actually sent a circular to all their members, and the circular was sent on the 18th of this month, and it says, I should read, it's called Guidance Note, Time Allowance for Employees to Vote. The general election date has been announced for Thursday, May 24th. The following advice is being provided by the BEC to guide employers on the allotment of time given to any employee for voting. Election Offences and Controversies Act, Cap 3, Section 20, 1. Every employer shall, on polling day, allow to every elector in his employ a reasonable period of not less than 1 hour for voting, and no employer shall make any deduction from the pay or other remuneration of any such elector, or impose upon or exact from him any penalty by reason of his absence during such period. 1A. For the purposes of this section, where an employee is normally paid on an hourly, piecework, or other similar basis, the hours of his employment on polling day are the hours he would normally work on that day if it were not polling day. And if the employee is absent during the time that the employer is required to allow the employee under subsection 1, the employer shall be deemed to have made a deduction from the employee's pay. If the employer does not pay the employee the amount that the employee would normally have earned if he had worked during that time. 2. Any employer who directly or indirectly refuses, or by intimidation, undue influence, or in any other way interferes with the granting of an elector in his employ of the period of voting as provided in this section is liable on summary conviction to a fine of $500 or to imprisonment for 6 months. Good. So, as I'll try to get it back, my technology here is running into some trouble. So I'll try to get it back. But basically, the interpretation is that an hour is the minimum only if it's reasonable. If you have to go from Christchurch to St. Lucie, as a person has said earlier, an hour cannot be reasonable. The employer can be fined or imprisoned for breaking this law. So I hope you have that. And maybe I'll do, I'll repeat it a little later. But the employers, who are all members of the Barbados Employers Confederation, they were circularized and they have been told this. I just read that circular to you. So really, they have to give reasonable time, an hour being the minimum. So I hope we all got that. We go back to the phone lines. This is Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. Good morning to you and Dennis. I know I'm not really into politics as such, but I've learned a lot from listening to Brass Tacks. Thank you. And I know I understand why you call it the silly season. And the caller that you had just now, it seems that he always comes in like, okay, I wouldn't use that. He always comes in with an attack. It probably is his character or something, but it doesn't come across good. I know you guys don't like it. You might not say anything or whatnot, or you might not cut him off. But it sounds uncouth.
Anyway, don't worry about him. What's on your mind today, apart from him?
I just wanted to say Brass Dance was good on Sunday.
You did. You enjoyed it.
Yes, I did. Well, I like forums like that.
I'm sure Sunday coming is going to be really hot because
I don't know if I'm going to listen after that. I don't know the way how people throw balls and balls at you guys. I don't know, because if I was like Ronnie had said, if he was on, well, mm-hmm. he can take that. you really have to have mm-hmm. that amount of patience to do what y'all are doing. Kudos to y'all. And I'm looking forward for Thursday night.
Yes.
To because I love the coverage mm-hmm. and the camaraderie when y'all get together. That's why
And don't forget,
Sunday.
On Thursday night, we'll have David Ellis, Peter Wickham.
Yes, on
and,
Thursday.
And you'll be getting reports coming in from Starcom, yes. as well as Nation reporters, so you will be getting a high level of coverage, so please.
I know. I'm looking forward to that. I will be joining you, God spare my life.
Will you be voting?
I will be joining you. Pardon?
Will you be voting? Yes, for sure.
Can I plead the fifth? I plead the fifth.
So tell me something. Why are you so undecided?
I'm not undecided.
You're not undecided.
You mean undecided about telling you guys?
No. I asked you if you were going to vote. You say you want to plead the fifth. So
yeah, I want to plead the fifth. That I don't have to tell you.
Well, fair enough. Anyhow, you have yourself a great day, and thank you very much for calling, huh?
And thanks for Brass Dance. You know, it helps a lot of people out there that don't. I've learned a lot about politics and a lot about people, too.
Mm-hmm. All right, my dear. Thank you. Have a great day. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air. It's 11:07.
Morning.
Good morning. Another female.
On the air, right?
Loud and clear. Hold up, Barbie. That's listening to you right now.
All right, cool. That's cool. I had a few ideas I had sent via WhatsApp, but I'm not sure if I got a response or not, so I'll just read over what I sent. Mm-hmm. This was for the school zoning problem and also for, like, the bus fare. issue that y'all had a few weeks ago, and then I want to present another idea if I have time.
Okay, go right ahead.
All right, so what I had said for the transport system thingamajiggy, going to secondary school should be based on where you live and not your grades. Someone who lives in St. Michael should not go to school in St. John, and the 11 plus is nonsensical, and I believe it should be removed, as it provides a caste system amongst the youth and creates a sense of inferiority amongst them. And the next
so
one.
So how do
was,
you can, hold a second? How you can what? How so does it cause inferiority? And
well,
then what option, if you're going to remove the 11 plus, then what are you going to put in its place?
Well, it could be random. You don't have to go to a certain school because of your grades. It should not be that way.
You're
you
not answering the question I ask you, you know. You're talking, that's zoning you're talking about. That's not what
yes.
I'm asking you about, because
yes.
zoning makes sense.
Yes.
Right? But
yes.
what I asked you is if... I was asking about, you said it was the, you were talking about 11 plus itself. So
yes,
if
it
not the 11.
Inferiority system.
Right. So explain that. This is the inferiority thing. I don't understand.
Well, I
that.
Could probably use myself as an example.
Okay.
Some people thought that, hey, oh my gosh, she's not smart. She can go to a dumb school. So, like, when I reached the set, when I went to secondary school, I really realized it wasn't that way. Like, well, I don't know how I would explain this to you, but, like, it creates an inferiority system, as in, like, the parents believe that, oh, she goes to Grantley Adams, so she can't be smart. Oh, she goes to St. Lucie, so, oh, Lord, she done lost or something. So it really makes people think that if you going to a certain school, oh, she's a lost cause, or, oh, Lord, she going to a dumb school. It don't really make no one think that, oh, okay, she going to a good school, blah, blah, blah. Like, it makes schools, it makes people think that certain schools are higher than the others when a school is just a school and we learn the same thing.
Okay. So, okay, and then what are you going to replace the 11 plus with?
Well, we don't have to replace it with anything. Like, if you live a certain place, you apply to go to school that is in your area. And that's all. And that will make more sense, too, because the children don't have to pay as much bus fare because the schools would be around them. And they don't have to catch as much buses to go to a whole long distance when the school is in their area.
Okay. All right. Your next point, your second point?
Right. So I was talking about the bus fare. And my statement was I would like to make a contribution towards the bus fare situation. I am a student, and I would like to know if there would be a way that one can buy a monthly bus pass at a certain amount of money as a regular transport user and also a student. I would like to add that I do not think that in order to move far with transportation that the standard bus fare should be $2. It should be charged according to the distance you are going to travel. I believe that traveling to St. Lucie from Bridgetown should not be $2. It should be a different price than going to Christchurch to Hastings. The price you pay should depend on the distance traveled, and I believe that this will help solve our problem.
Okay.
As, like, the government has to pay $7 for adult and then $2 for child, as the child paying free. So I really think
$7
that will help
for
solve
adult? We got that $7
from. For the bus, mm-hmm. Someone has said that
That's Mr. Morris Lee that you're talking about, because
right.
he's saying it's subsidized.
They had to add in $2, and for each adult, they had to put $7.
Well, that means you're listening. How old are you, how old are you, by the way?
17.
You're 17?
Yeah.
So you have an interest in public affairs?
I have a logical explanation or a logical solution that can work.
All right, young lady. Thank you very much.
I have another contribution. If you give me a few minutes.
Can I give you a few minutes? I'll give you another minute. Go right ahead.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I would say that whichever party gets into power, mm-hmm. that they give us a way for us to make money off of our garbage.
Mm-hmm. And here you're talking about the recycling, but we are talking separation of garbage and then recycling as well.
Yes. Right. I'm thinking mm-hmm. that if whoever gets in power, I don't really know, I can't see any future. Whoever gets into power, I would like that if anybody is listening to me right now, I would like that when you put your garbage out, you separate it yourself. Mm-hmm. And there will, if the garbage people pass and they find it not sorted, there will be a fine. They will say the address, report it, and there will be a fine to leave whoever lives in the area or whatever.
That could work in places where you actually have, like, each house has its own bin in places in Toronto, for example, where you have the three bins, where one is for glass, one is for car, the next one is for
But how garbage. That would work, right?
But is here, that? we just... People just
put the garbage everywhere, right?
Everywhere, yeah. And in one spot that may not even be close to a house.
Right.
That may be just the neighborhood area for putting the garbage, you know?
I was thinking that if the person cannot be found, the whole area will probably go up to a fee or something. So I was thinking that one could start their own garbage mm-hmm. themselves and have the various trucks pick them up. So I don't think that food waste should got to go in with paper. I don't think that mm-hmm. metal and all those things mm-hmm. should be going in the same garbage. Because I see a man just pick up a toilet bowl off the side of the road and shove it inside the garbage truck. That's ridiculous.
Yes, it is. And young lady, thank you very much for your ideas. They need to be pursued. Certainly, that whole idea of separation and recycling is something that needs to be done. It's long overdue. In fact, we did start a pilot program here several years ago, well over 10 years ago. And it actually was going on at Farley Hill. It was one of the places they had the bins out for separation and whatnot. And there are a few places that still try to do that. I know if you go to Sheraton, the mall. They do that where they try to separate the garbage as well. Anyway, we have to take a commercial break and we'll be right back.